If you want to make me mad, start telling me you can either live your life or be good with money, because that is just wrong. I'm Frances Cook. This is Making Sense, the podcast for people who want financial freedom without giving up their coffee, supported by our lovely friends at KiwiBank. If you're new here, I'm an independent financial journalist and fellow financial freedom seeker who makes money simple for you. Now, being good with money doesn't mean living the most deprived life you can while stacking up a mountain of cash. And living a good life doesn't have to mean blowing everything you have on momentary experiences. Getting balance between the two, though, does need a little bit of planning and thought, but it can absolutely be done. That's exactly what we're talking about today, with today's guest who decided she wanted to move to Spain. Sunshine, sangria, even some surfing, but she wasn't prepared to tank her entire financial future to do it. So, here's how she made it work. Making Sense is on a mission to make money simple, and I just couldn't do that without the support of KiwiBank. It's really important to me to only work with companies that understand that mission and the difference it makes when you understand the money world. For KiwiBank, their purpose is to help Kiwi and Aotearoa be better off. So bringing you real stories of inspirational and unconventional approaches to finance is one of the ways they're making a real difference to the lives of their customers. This is Making Kiwi Better Off. This is Kiwi. All right, Mireia Mulapaitis, welcome. I'm so pleased to have you on. Coming in from the middle of the night your time, so thank you so much, because you have moved overseas. Let's start with the fun stuff before we dig into how this impacted your finances, how we make sure it doesn't absolutely tank your finances. The fun stuff is that you moved to Spain. So where are you? How long have you been there?
I am currently based in Valencia in Spain, and I've now been here a year and a half, which is crazy. And I'm still very much in the honeymoon period of the city, but I think a year and a half has sort of passed that, and I'm so in love with the city. Obsessed.
Why there?
Like, I knew from New Zealand I wanted to move overseas. I did the typical, I should just go to London and I should get a finance job. And then I realized, because my background is my mum's from Barcelona and my dad's from New Zealand. So I'm born and raised in New Zealand, but I was like, well, hang on, I have a double nationality. Why would I settle for London? And I have my family who's from the north of Spain in Catalonia region. And then I didn't want to go to an area I already knew. So I just chose Valencia because it had beach and city. And I thought, done.
So good. Also, Valencia oranges. Am I like remembering right? Is that a thing?
That is a big personality trait here. It's the paella and the oranges and the football team. And that's the main things you have to, I know. Very proud about it.
Excellent. That doesn't sound like a bad time. So two lots of food, one lot of sport. I'm into it.
Yep. Yeah, big change from New Zealand for sure.
All right. So was there a culture shock getting there? What was the biggest difference you noticed moving from Wellington to Valencia, and how long did it take you to adapt?
It was a huge culture shock. I think for me, because from Wellington, like, I used to work for Te Puni Kōkiri for about 2.5-3 years. I was a sprint instructor at Les Mills. Like, my timetable was very go, go, go. And I sort of was, you know, working in government, kind of looking at, you know, being advisor, senior advisor, moving up there. And then I kind of went, actually, I want to travel. I want to move countries. So my lifestyle from New Zealand to then Spain, completely different. Because I decided to not go into a sort of a job related to my career, but I ended up applying for an English teaching program because it was 15 hours a week. It came with the visa, which in my case I didn't actually need, but, you know, was still an option. It comes with health insurance. It comes with a salary. And that just gave me like this sort of base to just kind of live in Spain and explore and travel and not have a job where I was actually important. And, you know, like, if they learn English, great. And if they don't, they're trying. So I kind of just decided to, like, yeah, the level of English is quite low, but I just wanted to do something completely different and something that kind of gave me like security, but flexibility. So my timetable from Wellington to Spain, very different. Like, here we do wake up very late. We do go to bed late. I've picked up a bunch of different hobbies. Traveling as much as I can on the weekends, like, it sometimes I think I actually really struggled with sort of having so much free time and kind of battling with the I should be busy, I should do a course, I should start studying. And I had to sort of retrain the whole what is success, like, yeah, very much from just being go, go, go to then not. That was a huge, huge difference for me.
Yeah, because what was the aim of moving? What were you wanting to achieve? Was it one of those things where you sort of hit those mid to late 20s and you're like, I've got to go and experience more of the world and see things, do things? You know, some people want to travel because they think it'll improve their career. Some people are thinking it's going to be a life experience. Some people are like, I've got to do this before I settle down. What were you thinking when you're like, it's time to go travel?
I was just thinking it was time to get out of New Zealand. And I think, like, after COVID as well, after being shut for so many, you know, was it 2 years we were in, sort of had the borders shut for? Mm-hmm. And then I went traveling 2022 for 2 or 3 months. I came back. And from then, that's when I made the decision to go, there is a whole world out there. So I think for me, it was more of the life experience, I would say. Honestly, I just want to do something different. Like, life is really short. Like, I can jump back into a government job if I decide to come back to New Zealand. I, you know, like, I'm not going to be missing out on something. And I think this whole leaving that kind of, you need to stay in here for 3 years and you need to then get this job, and this kind of following this sort of set path was like, actually, I just want to remove myself and then figure it out. Like, if there's opportunity, I'm going to take it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's funny because I've talked about this on the pod before, is I think I had a real scarcity mindset in my 20s, particularly, where I was always scared that if I didn't throw myself into my career, if I didn't really like sort out my finances, that it would just all fall apart. And I would never achieve anything with my life. And I look back and I'm like, that was never the case. But it really meant that I was very focused on climbing the ladder, doing all this stuff and doing things sort of correctly. And I don't believe in having regrets, but if I did have a regret, that would probably be on the list.
Do you wish that you went traveling? You wish you kind of like...
A little bit, like more, yeah, because now I've got 2 kids. I'm not going anywhere.
I'm in the mum life.
Yeah. Let me get a bit bigger and we'll fix some of these regrets. But for now, I'm not going nowhere. But I think it is really, there can be this outside pressure, right, to really lock down the finances. And now that I look at it, I don't think you have to choose either or. So I'd love to talk about when you started thinking about, okay, I want to go, I want to experience things. Was that a thought in the back of your mind as well? Were you worried about your finances, or were you like, I'm going to figure this out and here's what I'm going to start doing?
100%, because I think it's so, and I really appreciate you sharing as well, like when you were in your 20s and kind of having those pressures as well, because when I decided, like I said, I had a government job, I was on a good salary, I had a clear savings goal, and also, like, before I left, I got very into finances. Like, I learned all about investing. I started writing articles. I got into sharing education around KiwiSaver and different investment accounts that exist, because I just got so passionate and there was so much information that was coming out from people like yourselves and Girls That Invest and The Curve and One Up Project that it was incredible. But the moment it came to going traveling, it was like, you're either going to go into Kentucky for 6 weeks, blow through your savings to come home, or you're moving to London and you want to come back in 2 years because your visa will expire. Like, those are the only
things
people
were
talking about.
People talk about, yeah.
And that was it. And it was so hard because I remember, like, I had my finances and all that. I had my emergency account. I was investing regularly. And then when it came to moving overseas, of course, I was faced with that. Like, is this a stupid decision? Because it sort of was like, okay, if you're going to do this, you're going to be behind in your finances. So I really had to check myself on a whole bunch of core beliefs to go, what does that even mean? And also kind of weigh up, well, what do I value? Do I value this experience? Do I value having an extra 20,000 in the bank? Like, what am I actually going to choose now? And that's where I think education is incredible, and also acknowledging privilege. Like, I had, you know, 2 full-time working parents. I studied at university. I was able to get a good job on a good salary. I was able to save. Like, I also come from privilege in those senses as well. So for me to go, I'm moving overseas, my safety blanket is I can come home to my parents if I need. Like, that in itself is already massive. But when it came to moving overseas, I was faced with this, I have to give up investing, I have to give up savings. Yeah. It's a sacrifice. And that was a massive thing for me to kind of work through. And that's why, for me, as much as I wanted to go traveling and just go backpacking, my idea of travel that I wanted to do was actually living in Spain. So I wanted to build a life here, and I wanted to have a base and then do traveling, but have a routine have a little bit more sort of security in that sense. And that's where I think this idea of traveling means it's something different for everyone. Mm-hmm. And for me, I do value security as much as I'd love to go backpacking, like, fuck it. Well, sorry, can we swear on this podcast?
You can, yes. Okay, you're allowed.
Cool. You know, I was like, I'm not quite there yet. So that's why for me, like, doing things and setting up my finances in a way that worked for me was huge to go, actually, I can invest. I just can't do it to the same extent I was back home. And I think I just set my finances up in a way, which I'd love to break down as well, in a way that meant I didn't have to choose between one or the other.
Yes. This is exactly it. I think we often get caught up in these really binary decisions of I either do this perfectly or I don't do it at all. And this is something I talk about constantly, is a little bit is so much better than nothing. And even doing a little bit often ends up, you can even do a little bit more than that little bit. Once you get started, you often find there's more cushion there to make future plans than you thought. It's just making sure you stay in the habit of doing it. And you can both live life and make future plans. I'm so passionate about that. I'm so glad to hear you say that. So, okay, you're looking at all these things. You're trying to sort of plan things out. Where did you start with the financial planning? Because I imagine even the first impact, did you have to save up to get overseas, get that plane ticket, have house deposit or whatever the system is in Valencia? What did you have to do for those first few financial steps?
So when I decided that I wanted to move overseas, the first thing I did was I did want sort of a security to sort of do that. And that meant for me looking at programs, which I ended up signing up for an English teaching program. And that for me was like, okay, from October, I'm going to have an income. And it's small. It's like 1,000 euros a month, which sort of covers rent, food, a little bit of travel, but you're not saving on it. But that meant that I was like, okay, from this month, I'll have income, which meant that when I decided to want to move, I sort of counted backwards. So my first step was emergency account. That was my non-negotiable. I went, I need my emergency account. I want enough for a ticket home and I want enough for a few months if shit hits the fan. And that was my first non-negotiable. The second was that I wanted to calculate, I think I saved up about 15,000 from the month I decided, okay, I want to leave in, I think it was like 10 months later or a year or something like that. I decided I wanted 15,000 to travel for a few months beforehand and then get settled in Valencia. So I kind of planned it backwards.
Yeah.
And then what I did is that I calculated enough to hit my savings target 2 weeks before I finished my job. And then that meant that the last 2 weeks and then also the payout that we got from like annual leave, I decided to put that money aside for my investments.
Nice.
So with that money I had, I think maybe it was about $2,000, I think. I decided that that money went straight into my investment account. So I kept the habit of sort of doing auto investing, I think like $50 a month or however much I worked out, which meant that for the first 10 months, my investments were going to continue to grow. I just didn't need to manage it and I didn't need to see the money coming in or coming out. So for me, that was kind of my way of going, this money isn't taking away from travel. It's already been accounted for and I can do both. And that's where I think I love what you've said as well. It's like every little bit counts. And I think that these small actions I did, it bought me time and it gave me options to go, do I want to keep investing now that I am settled in Spain and have been here for a year and a half? Do I want to not? Do I want more money for travel? Do I want to, you know, like from that point, it kind of gives you those options to go, well, now, what would I like to prioritize? What do I need to change here? I think that was a really big thing that I'm really grateful I did, was just keeping that auto investment going and not checking it once.
I also feel like, and I'd love to know your feelings on this, if I stop doing something, then it is a real faff. And it's almost like this inertia builds up where you won't start again for a long time. Whereas if you keep going, even $5 a week, I mean, yes, more than that will get you further. But even if you take it all the way down to $5 a week, building that back up to say, oh, I could do 10 or 20 now, and you just change the payment amount, I feel like I'm much more likely to get started again and to ramp up again rather than if I just stop cold. What are your thoughts?
I completely agree, because I remember thinking, like back home in New Zealand, going, I'm in this habit of investing and I just got comfortable with investing. Like when you kind of dive into this world and you're like, what is investing? And same thing, realizing that banks were investing my money, like realizing what the savings account was, I was like, hold up. Okay, I can do this myself. And I think kind of understanding that I got so into it and I had such a routine, but I had, you know, I knew how much was coming in with my salary. I had a lot more control over it. To then with traveling, I was like, oh my God, I need to give this all up now. And it's like, well, actually, no. So I completely agree that for me, that habit of like continuing to invest, and also things like in my emergency account, I always had money set aside for like my student loan repayments, things like investing in KiwiSaver. But like I was accounting for these things to go, I want this, I need this money put aside, and this is for my financial future kind of thing.
Yeah.
So then I don't want it to take away from whatever's happening here in Spain or with travel. And that for me, I think having that habit going meant that it just brought me more freedom here. I wasn't worried about it. I was going, $5 a week still made me feel quote unquote successful.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like at least for me, because I decided to sign up to a program and have that bit of security, I could put that money aside. So yeah, I think the habit was a massive thing for me. Big time. Like I really agree with what you said.
Yeah. And it's funny though that you mentioned that you were still feeling successful, because I think that's another underrated thing, that the money mindset can get really woo and really dumb, let's be honest. But it's still important. That's, again, it's one of those things. It's not either or. The right sort of money mindset and treating it with the right level of it. It's not everything, but it's something. And that feeling of still feeling successful with your money and feeling like you are still making progress, as you're having a big adventure, as you're going out to explore Spain, explore Europe, amazing, love this for you, to still feel like you're making progress towards your future and that's ticking along. How much stress do you think that took off you mentally?
So much, because I think I was already grappling with the idea of like, what is success, full stop? Because it feels like if you do go traveling, it's like, this is a temporary thing and then you're going to come home and take life a bit more seriously, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, that is the case. But I felt like people weren't talking about the other ways to travel and living overseas. And sometimes that does mean getting a big girl job in a big city. And sometimes it means teaching English and explaining what on earth a verb is to Spanish kids, you know? Which has nothing to do with what I studied or worked in at all. But I'm so happy. And I think that by me deciding to change and do that, I was battling with this idea of what is success. I was explaining to people by going, oh, this is just a temporary thing, you know, like, don't judge me.
You're sort of automatically talking yourself down.
Yeah.
And you're like, hang on a minute, I'm living in Spain and having an amazing time and still like looking at, why do we do this to ourselves?
It's just not normalized. But like, what even is success and what is being financially smart? Like, what does that actually mean? Like, is that a certain amount of money in the bank? Is it not? And I really had to push through a lot of these barriers of feeling this thing of being defensive, like, oh, well, I'm just doing this temporarily and then I'll take myself seriously, to go, I'm really bloody happy. And I go social salsa dancing twice a week and I'm stoked about it. And I'm grateful I'd made this decision and I'm privileged to have been able to make it. So I think when it comes to money, like for me, I just didn't want to give up one or the other. I just went, I can do both. I just can't do it at the same capacity as I did back home. Because for me, would I prioritize a trip over putting money in a savings account? Yes. Because that right now, you know, I don't have children. I'm not in the stage of where I have these big responsibilities. This isn't a chapter of my life where that's a big factor for me. And I have my emergency account. So for me, like the way I've managed money has been nothing like what it was like in New Zealand. I'm a lot more, I'll take that trip and yes, I'll do that. But by having my emergency account and my investments automated, that gave me peace of mind, big time. And then I invest more every month. And sometimes if I have, you know, three or four trips like June, you know, less money will go into my investments and that's fine.
June's going to be a good time, is it?
Yeah. June's got a lot. June has a lot coming.
I absolutely love this for you.
And that's it. Like your investment strategy, like it's supposed to be flexible and it's supposed to be able to change to whatever works for you.
100%.
So yeah, the idea of success has now changed massively for me.
I love that. I want to talk a bit about, you mentioned KiwiSaver before, and I think this is one of the things that people are very attached to their KiwiSavers, and with good reason. And it's tricky. As soon as you're no longer in, there's a box of the vast majority of people, to be fair, that KiwiSaver works really well for. And if you're an employee at a company and you're in New Zealand, KiwiSaver works well, ticks along great. As soon as you are self-employed or heading out of the country or taking a career break, it gets slightly more complicated. So what did you have to look into to figure out, what am I going to do with my KiwiSaver and where have you landed on that?
honestly, there was so much information I wish I knew about how it works. Because as I said, in New Zealand, being able to, like, financial education has lived in the last few years has now become more talked about.
Yeah, it suddenly exploded, thank God.
Worse, I was in the wrong KiwiSaver fund. That's how I got into finances. I was in a conservative fund at like 15 or whenever I opened it. And I was at a default, my default bank KiwiSaver provider who was investing in horrible things. And I had no idea about it. So I missed out on so much money all of these years without even being conscious about it because no one taught me. No one taught my mum. So it wasn't spoken about. And then because I got super passionate about it, I learned about KiwiSaver. But the moment you go overseas, I had no idea. So I had put some money aside, like factoring into my emergency account to be like, okay, there were just so many like, what should I do? Or I was like, should I invest in my KiwiSaver? When am I even going to withdraw it? Is that a smart thing to do? Is it not? Like, and I was also talking about like the government contribution. And there was nothing that was super unclear. Like I knew I wouldn't be getting my employer contribution because I left my job. But the government contribution, that was a very unclear thing. Which I think, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm still trying to learn about this.
Go for it.
Invested the minimum contribution within my first 6 months of being overseas. So I got the government contribution. And then over those 6 months, the moment I'm sort of overseas, wait, what's the word for it?
When you're no longer tax resident to New Zealand?
Yes. Then you don't get the government contribution. Is that correct? Yeah.
Yes. No, you're spot on. Continue.
Please, everyone, follow Frances Cook because we need to know these things. Because I put money aside going, I want to get the government contribution. And then the second time around for that following financial year, I was like, I don't think I'm eligible. And I didn't know that.
It's such a pain, right? I think as well, like the way people talk about the government contribution, and I've had people get mad at me for calling it this. I know it's not technically a tax refund. I get that. But it basically works like a sort of small tax refund where you have to be working certain age within New Zealand and then it comes back. And it's basically a way of filtering tax dollars back to you. And I think if they would just call it a tax refund, if they would just be honest about what it is, it would make it so much clearer how it works. Because then you realize, oh, right, I'm not in New Zealand. It's been 6 months. I'm officially no longer a tax resident to New Zealand. I don't get it anymore. But because they dick around calling it different things, it makes it a bit confusing. So
confusing.
Yeah. So do you still put money into your KiwiSaver, or have you decided while you're not getting those contributions, it's best to invest outside of it? What have you gone for?
Once I kind of figured out that I wasn't eligible for it, I went, I'm going to be getting a much better return on investment investing separately. So I have an account with Sharesies and with Kernel. So I've decided to keep investing New Zealand dollars and just keeping that there. So I haven't dipped into sort of changing into euros just with the currency conversion and the fluctuations. I went, keep it in New Zealand dollars. So I decided to just invest myself. But that for me just made so much more sense rather than my KiwiSaver, which has a lot more regulations around it. When I can withdraw, when I can't, whereas my personal investments, I get to decide that. So I decided to just leave my KiwiSaver as it is. But then the other thing that really gets us is student loans. Like if you head overseas, that is also something not discussed and very unclear the moment you head overseas.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, correct me if I'm wrong on this, the last time I checked, same thing, right? If you've been overseas for more than 6 months, no, well, not tax resident to New Zealand for more than 6 months, interest rates start ticking up. So you still had a student loan?
I have a student loan and it is at 4.9%.
Ooh, that's quite a bit.
That is a lot. You have to make minimum contributions before the end of the financial year, depending on the size of your loan. So my loan, I think, is about $25,000 at the moment because I paid quite a bit of it off just from working. But that means that every year I only pay 2,000 New Zealand dollars, and $1,000 of that is interest.
Oof. Mate, that sucks.
Horrible. Like that was the worst letter I got from IRS. I was like,
no, I don't want to.
Yeah, I was like, I think the fuck not. Thank you very much. You know, I was like, God. So all my trips in June were like, oof, God. But, you know, kind of like looking at stuff, it's like if you want to move overseas, you know, that's why a lot of Kiwis do come back within that 6 month period because you do get taxed. And what I've also learned is that, like, you can apply for the first year that you don't have to make the repayments, but you still get charged interest.
Oh.
And it's very easy to apply for. It's just to click on IRD, a couple questions, and then you don't have to make those payments for the first 12 months. And then, but that, again, you still get interest on your loan.
Interesting.
So for me, yeah, I decided to actually have some money from my emergency account to put off my student loan,
mm-hmm.
like $3,000. Because I went, even if I knock off $1,000, just having it there, that interest rate's really going to be creeping up. And that's where it's hard to plan because I don't know when I'm coming back to New Zealand. And it's sort of just what we spoke about before, where I'm trying to do things to give myself options to go 4.9% is a stinger.
Yeah.
If I have spare money, it is going off my loan right now, over investing, you know?
Yes.
Those kinds of decisions, they're kind of the hard ones to make, and there's no right and there's no wrong, but I'm going, what gives me more flexibility? What's going to sort of not bite me in the ass in a few years' time? Which I would also love your advice on as well.
Yeah.
Because that was a bit 4.9%. I was like,
it's a lot of money, eh?
Yeah. Heaps.
It is interesting though. I think, I mean, obviously this is, we'll jump into the disclaimer that obviously I don't know your full situation, but looking at it from the sort of the general advice that they often give in these situations is, you know, paying off debt versus investing. I mean, that 4.9% you're looking at right now, that's equivalent to a lot of people's mortgage repayments. So it's almost like the mortgage versus invest debate. And it is that tricky thing of the debt payments, they're locked in. You have to pay them. Even if you have a bad month, their ID is going to be coming knocking and saying, well, you've got to pay this and there's more penalties and fees if you don't. And then as well, saving that 4.9%, you can consider that kind of like an investment return, the money that you would make on investments. And by the time you factor in things like taxes and fees on your investments, actually it knocks it down to about that level anyway. So paying off debt often does work out better than investing. I go for a hedged bet approach in terms of mortgage versus invest, because a mortgage is such a long-term commitment that I do 50-50 of my extra money on each one. But when it's something like your student loan, yeah, I mean, there's the argument there that just getting rid of it gives you a bit more of that mental freedom, right?
Yeah.
I can imagine that feels quite a lot having it hanging over you.
Well, yeah, because in New Zealand, of course, it's interest-free. So in New Zealand, the moment you start working, you're not conscious of your payments because you don't even see the money. It just gets taken out. And that's the other thing, is that when you are overseas, that is something you have to consider. And it's almost like that sacrifice. So for me, I was like, okay, I'm aware I'm going to get interest payments. That's not enough to stop me from moving overseas. But it is something I have to take into consideration and factor into my financial planning while I'm in Spain. And that was something that, again, looking at going, you know, the payment I have to make is half interest, half principal. I was like, that's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the 4.9% and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, 4.9%. And then you look at how much interest that actually costs you. And you're like, hang on, how are they calculating this?
Yeah.
I
looked at my IRD and I was like, that is a cruel. And I posted a reel about it for people who are overseas to be like, hey, we're all going to be getting this letter. This is how we pay it. This is how we check what sort of eligibility we fall under. And I think for people to know that there is that 12-month thing you can apply for, again, understanding you still get interest. But I think when it comes to the same thing like moving overseas, it's going, investing in KiwiSaver, investing in your personal account, having a student loan, there are all of these things you do need to take into consideration. And I just wish that there was, I guess, a little bit more information around it and just ways to structure your money for me to go, you know, in my case, in my situation, I did save to move overseas, but I did find something that gave me an income. So I'm not saving on my income, but I'm not sort of dipping into savings. And I'm continuing to invest because that's really important for me. And then part of my investment money is now going off the student loan. I don't want to be dealing with IRD or keeping on top of these things if I can just automate it and then it's gone. Like, I'm a big fan of that. Like, automate the investments, manual payments, IRD, knock it off, done.
Life looks different for everyone. Maybe you're buying your first home, growing your whānau, dreaming of travel, or simply trying to stay on top of things. KiwiBank has the tools to help you manage your money your way. Find out more at kiwibank.co.nz. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi.
I wish that there was a bit more information around different ways to structure your money. And same thing, like I haven't chosen a job that was in my quote-unquote career. I did choose something that gave me flexibility but secure income and health insurance and these things I didn't need to worry about. And because I've done it for a year, like now I am looking at careers in Spain and in Europe and wanting to stay here. So that's where I'm going, I want to get back into this world. And then my financial situation is going to change again. And I think it's just finding a strategy that when, like in my case, like I'm 25, I don't know what the next 3 months are going to look like. And that's really scary and it's really exciting. And it's sort of like, how do I structure my money around to cater for that? Because every month is going to look different.
Well, exactly that, right? Because like the point now is, like, as we've said, you want to still look after your future prospects. And that's really exciting, really great for you. But the point right now is experiencing life, being open to new experiences. You can't be too structured if I do this, 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 and this, because then you'll miss the whole reason that you're there. So how have you built up your money to give you that flexibility, to give you a little bit of the options that you need? Have you set any systems up, or is it more about avoiding systems, to be honest?
That's a very good question. I have to say, like, how I used to structure my money in New Zealand, like, okay, I spend this amount on groceries and this amount on the gym and all of that, you know, that's sort of gone out the window. What I have done now is I have automated investments, which I don't even see come in because it goes straight out. It automates it. And I've decided to invest, I think maybe investing maybe around $200 a month, $300 a month, depending. But I've automated the minimum amount. So that money I don't even consider. Also having my emergency account, massive, massive win. Like that for me is just, it's sitting in a high interest account. I can access it through a call. I'm good. And that means that the money I get for my program in Spain, I sort of have a weekly budget, you know, so I figure out how much I want to spend on groceries. But I give myself flexibility. So if someone says, hey, are we going surfing this month? I'm like, fuck yeah, we're going surfing. Done. Skyscanner. Easy. And the reason is that I want to say yes to that stuff. You know, I also pay for an academy to do dance lessons because there is so much social dancing in Spain. I got into salsa and bachata and I love it. So that for me was an investment to go, I'm going to pay, what is it, 55 euros a month to go to this academy because I enjoy it. Because this is something I wouldn't probably be doing back in New Zealand. And that for me was just, I'm saying yes to these things, which means now that I'm in Spain, I say yes and no, which means maybe I won't go out 3 times a week. Again, a lot cheaper to do that here than back home. So, you know, maybe I won't go out 3 times a week, but maybe I will go out once a week and then drinks, you know, and I'll pay for my academy. So I'm just making decisions as to what my life is like here in Spain and not taking away from anything here because of automated investments and emergency account that was already set up. So that's where I've kind of decided to work in with that. And that also means that I don't need to manage. I don't need to manage more than I have to. I just get to be present as to what's happening right now in my life here.
I love that so much. I really do. I think it's also important to note because you're actually someone who does have qualifications in this area. It's not just your personal experience that's informing this chat. And yet you still ran into issues that you hadn't expected because I think it is really, sometimes we can hold ourselves back and say, oh, you know, it's easier for people who know more about this than I do. Or, you know, I can't do that because I don't know about it. And yet, whatever level of knowledge you have, you can always run into things that you didn't expect or new areas that you're like, hang on, that's not what I was thinking was going to happen there. You know, just the other day, I was doing a live session and someone asked me about gold, and it was a really nitty gritty question about gold, and I was like, don't know, gonna have to go look into that, you know. It was a great question and I love being pushed to keep expanding my knowledge, but I do think we always have to be active about learning more. There's always going to be little areas that trip us up. So for starters, walk me through your financial background so that I don't explain your experience for you and get it wrong, and then how much has that helped versus not helped you with this?
That is a very good question. I'm also going to touch on that question you said about gold around you think you know something and then life slaps you in the face of a situation. You're like, what the fuck
life
am
loves
I?
To
like,
do that.
Student loan. I was like, I really thought I was onto this one. 4.9 was a lot higher than I thought.
Yeah, that is a lot.
That was a stinger. And I think it's gone up. But anyways. Oof. So my background. Yeah. So I actually got into finances a little bit later. So I did university at Wellington. I did international relations, political science and Māori studies. I worked, yeah, then at Tupuna Kōkiri for 2.5, 3 years, and I ended up working in the investment team, working in grant funding. And then within those sort of 2, 3 years, that's when I kind of had these questions around, well, what is KiwiSaver? Or what even is investing? I don't understand it, but I think everyone's doing it. Like, I just wanted to learn. And then from then, that's when I sort of delved into the world and was just kind of soaking up, you know, information from people like yourselves, or just following Instagram pages and learning. And that's where New Zealand is incredible, because we're such a small country that information spreads, and also having social media, we have so much more accessibility to that. So I kept learning from these platforms where I was like, just make it easy, because this is, it's complicated for us, make it easy. So I was just delving into Yet Yourself, Girls That Invest, The Curve, One Up Project, all of these sort of pages. And then from then I just sort of went, I want to work in this space. Like, I wish I knew this information, because money impacts so much of our lives, whether we like it or not. Money is freedom. Money gives you the chance to leave a relationship, a job, a situation where you are unsafe. Money is something that puts food on the table. Like, it's important. And I think acknowledging the sort of that everyone comes from a different place and different, you know, even that's where I think privilege is important to really be spoken about here. And then from that, I decided to, alongside my job, to get a certification in financial advice. So I got my level 5, and I got that, I think, a couple of months before leaving New Zealand, because that's where I was sort of decided to get the certification. So I'm certified in investment advice. And that's why I was looking at sort of changing careers into that space. And that's when I made the decision to go, actually, I think I want to move overseas. So I got certified. And then my biggest why, which again, I want to work in this space. I'm aware that I'm gaining experiences and seeing how it goes, but I really want to work in it, because I just think that everyone deserves access to education. Like, this needs to be made simple and understandable. And we have a right to understand how our money works, how we structure it. And then from the education, we get choice. We are given a choice. You decide what works for you. If you don't want to invest and you just want to do your KiwiSaver, go for it. Go for it. If you are in a different situation, you know, like, it just gives you, education gives you that freedom of choice to decide what works for you in your situation. And that's it. So I think it's not about going, I'm doing this, you should do this as well. It's going, here's my experience, what's yours?
And I think that's the big thing when you're saying there about the choice. I think that's massive, where if someone wants to say investing isn't right for me right now, or KiwiSaver isn't right for me right now, or I'm okay with not having an emergency fund, if that's something that they've made a decision on, knowing what they're giving up, that's fine. If you're saying, okay, I know how compounding works, and I know that that means I'm going to take a hit, and right now that's worth it for me, love that. Cool, do it. But if it's something where you look back and you say, I didn't have to give that up, I could have done that differently, and I could have had fun then and a bit of an easier time now, when, you know, a few years later, then I feel bad for people when they didn't know that was a sacrifice they were making. And I think the key is knowing what you're giving up at any point is really important, right?
Oh, I love how you've articulated that. I love that, because that's the freedom of choice right there, is to go, what works for you? And like, for me, deciding to travel, where I went, I could go for a few months and come back to New Zealand and stay in my job. And I went, I just don't want to do that, because I want to live overseas. And if I can live in a way in which I'm not saving, but I'm not dipping, it's, you know, significantly into my savings, I have that buffer, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to stay here for 1.5, 2, 3, however long I'm here for. And I'm going to actively make that decision, because I found a program and I found education, you know, some resources, and I found a way I can keep investing. Yeah. And that's my personal choice based on the, you know, the background I come from. And for other people who do just want to travel for a month and go and, you know, spend their savings and have a great time and then just come home, great. But the point is that there is different ways to do things. There are options and there are choices. And it's not one or the other. And one isn't better than the other either. People who want to stay and build up their career is incredible. People who want to go travel and backpacking, also amazing. Like, I think it's just that. It's like, get, if you have that sort of access to education, then you decide what works for you. And that's where I think for people who want to move overseas, or are living overseas, or traveling overseas, who don't have a set income, who don't want to come home and having the time of their freaking lives, and also feel behind, because they compare to friends back home. It's just kind of normalizing, like, hey, figure out what success is for you, figure out what is this chapter in your life, and create opportunities for yourself to then keep deciding what's a yes and what's a no. Because what I feel right now, my situation will change in 6 months.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to reshape how I structure my finances, maybe some of my values, you know, like it's going to be this constant change. And these, we have the flexibility to do that.
Yeah. You've mentioned the job thing a couple of times, and I'd love to touch on that a bit more. But as you said, you've aimed for a job that gives you flexibility right now. It gives you good options right now, but it's also, you know, keeping a roof over your head and food on the table and salsa lessons.
And salsa lessons.
Right. And salsa lessons, very important. And I think, you know, brilliant. As you're staying there a little bit longer, you know, you're coming up on the 2-year mark. How are you feeling about that? Do you want to change anything on the job front? What's the aim?
Yeah. And like for me, that's sort of been a checkpoint where I've gone, okay, sort of what's next? Because I've done this program, as I said, a massive change from what I was doing in New Zealand. Like my timetable is a joke. Like, oh, the kids have a class trip or they're watching a movie or I don't know. You don't need to come into that. You know, like it is, I'm very fortunate. Like it's a very relaxed timetable. I have a lot of free time. I get to do a lot of activities and projects and I'm grateful. Like there's an incredible quality of life here in Spain. Incredible. I love it here. What I have noticed now is that because I've repeated the program, so I've maybe done it for a year, I don't want to repeat it again. So I'm actively not repeating the program, not reapplying for it. But now I'm going, okay, what's next? And for me, that what's next has been a big one because I want to work in the finance space. And that was hard because I'm obviously, you know, my experience comes from the New Zealand system. So for me, like my dream would be to be able to work online from New Zealand or for an international company. And now what I'm actually sort of looking into is applying for companies around Spain and Europe doing investment capital. So for me, that was a thing that I hadn't even considered going, okay, so you know, they invest money into a lot of the time startups, which are either, you know, addressing challenges that are happening right now. And, you know, that's going to have social impact. So maybe it's doing climate change, maybe poverty, maybe, you know, animal rights. Like there's just, they're investing in these companies. And I went, oh, that could actually be a really cool project for me. So really feel like I want to kind of use my brain. And that's kind of what I'm exploring right now. So I think on the job front, I finished my program in a few months. I will be traveling for 2 months of summer. I've got family coming to stay. I've also randomly applied to volunteer at a surf camp in August because why not? Why not?
Why not?
Because I get to live there for free. I get to help out. It's, you know, I'm not going to be making money, but I won't be spending much either.
Mm.
And in September, so when the summer month is over, I'm applying for jobs right now to be ready for that. And I don't know what the next few months are going to look like. And, you know, like I talked to my mom and I'm like, yeah, mom, I'm going to work at the surf camp and I want to work in, you know, investment capital and I'm applying for this. And she's like, are you good? Like,
yeah. Look, mom, I've just got a lot going on. I really want to experience all that life has to offer.
100%. And because I'm that kind of person, that's why I had to set my money up in a way that I don't see it. I don't manage it.
Yeah.
I can, you know, figure it. I can change, but I don't want it forefront of mind. I want to be present to where I'm at right now, which is I'm confused and very happy. And that's just where we're at.
That's brilliant. It's so good. And I think you mentioned this a little bit before, but I'd love to dive into it. Do you know if you'll come back to New Zealand at any point? Do you even have sort of a vague plan of what you might do, even with the caveat that that might change? And how does that factor into your financial planning? Because as you mentioned, you've obviously still got investment accounts based here. So you've still got some money based here.
That's a hard one because New Zealand's home. Like I am so proud of our country. I miss it. I don't see myself living there right now. Mm-hmm. I see myself going back to visit for a few months. Long-term, really high chance. Like I've still got my family there. It's, like I say, it's still home. And I guess the only thing I can sort of answer is that like right now I'm not ready to move back. So the way that I sort of structure my finances is sort of, it's tricky. You know, it is tricky because like how much do I pay off my student loan will be like, well, how many years am I going to be paying 4.9% interest on this? You know, and my KiwiSaver as well, that's a different story. So I think when it comes to that, it's just I want to keep making sort of short-term decisions for now to go, okay, this gives me an option in the future, which is knock off money on my student loan so I'm not paying as much interest should I decide to stay here a bit longer. Keep investing because that's going to always grow when I most likely, I think I will go home. I will go home at some point. The sort of permanence of that, I don't know. And sometimes that's really hard to say. But, you know, your mum's like, when are you coming home? And I'm like, oh, I don't really know.
Yeah.
So I think
come over here, mum.
Yeah. And my mum's the Spanish parent too. I was like, I'm in your country. Like, you know. So I think
mum's probably aware of the danger of meeting meeting someone while overseas and you never coming
mom's
home.
Mum's like, oh, been there, done that. You know, she's like, and she just loves New Zealand lifestyle. She's like, and even calling because I'm in the Spanish lifestyle. It's different to back home. It's, you know, one's not better than the other. But right now, for my stage of life, Valencia looks good on me. I'm happy here. It feels good. I want to build a life here.
Yeah, no, I think it's really important though, because I think it is this thing where we see it come up a lot, where people have these very strict ideas of what it is to be sort of good with money. And I understand it. I understand that there are some quite core rules of personal finance that work for almost everyone, right? But what's the point of money? The point of money is not to go to the grave with a big pile of gold, like whoopee, like, right? Like the point of money is to build the life that you want and you can use money to achieve it. I mean, I obviously think that having money gives you options in life. It gives you freedom. It gives you independence. And then you have to make sure you use that freedom and independence. There's no point having more money if it costs you the things you want to do, right? So at the moment, I look at what you're doing and what you're building, and you're making sure there are some compromises through what you're doing. And there are some things where you're like, maybe I'd go harder on that if I was still back in Wellington. But you'd be back in Wellington, and that's not where you want to be right now. So what would be the point? Like, it looks like really beautifully balanced from the outside, at least.
Thank you for saying that. It was definitely like, I think coming here was this massive, I had to break through a lot of these sort of like beliefs I had in my brain between Mireia, what you've done, it's a fun temporary thing, but you're not successful because you're now teaching English, to going, I'm really bloody happy. And I have my credentials. I'm also know that I'm going to continue in this career, because I'm going to have experience behind me, and part of the experience is English teaching in Spain and living here. You know, now I take it with me as like a value add before I took it as a, this is a break, this is a, it's taking away value to going, actually, it's not. I think what you said about compromise, like, I think that's just anything in life, right? It's sort of like you can have it all, just maybe not at the same time.
Yes. Oh my God, I love that saying, and it's so true. You can have it, you can have anything, but not everything at the same time.
Yeah. 100%. And that's where I think, like, I'm really grateful that my parents are like, go and live, go and travel. Like, now I get to speak Spanish all the time and it's beautiful. Now I get to understand how a different culture works and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Now I know how to find an apartment when I'm overseas in a foreign country and I get scammed in my first month. Like, you know, shit has happened.
Did you get scammed? Wait, pause.
I got scammed. Yeah, I got scammed.
Please tell us how you got scammed.
800 euros. Yeah.
Oh, no. What did they get you with?
There were a lot of red flags at the start, but when you're desperate for housing, like, this is also a very international city.
Yeah.
It was from a Facebook page. It was, hi, here's this listing. Here's the owner's number. I got sent a contract and a flat viewing. And the, you know, the location existed. The department just didn't. And then my friend was like, hey, the video from this outside the window, like, doesn't actually look like the street. I happen to have one friend who was living in Valencia. And I looked into it and I was like, huh. And then never heard from that person again.
Oh, no. God, honestly, though, I do hear that, like, finding a place to live is one of the really tricky things. Because you don't know the rules and you don't know what it's like. That's the whole point. You're moving there for the first time.
And you're desperate. Like, you'll sign anything. Like,
yeah.
Now I look at the thing, like, so many red flags. But at the time, I was like, I need to sign this. I don't need to see it in person. The video looks great. And that's kind of, I think, part of that life experience you get when you do move overseas. You do need to figure out, what kind of people do you want to be around? Do you want to be around people just because you happen to all speak English, or the people you actually align with?
Yeah.
What does traveling look like for you? I learned, for me, I really value routine. I need routine. I love traveling, but I like going for a week or a weekend, and then I want to come home. I want to sleep on my bed, and I want to know what I do every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And that's just what works for me. So you have to, like, figure so much stuff out because you're out of your familiar environment. And I think that's like the life in Wellington versus the life here. I had to really do that to go, I'm not, you know, unsuccessful by doing this. I'm gaining experience. And I'm figuring out a lot about myself, which is as cheesy as it sounds, it's true. I'm also learning that I value money because it allows me to have experience. You know, like I'm never going to regret the trip. I will never regret the trip. I just won't. I know that. But maybe I'll regret 4 dinners out a week because I felt peer pressure to go. You know, and you kind of get to pick and choose that. So I think that's where you do learn a lot because you have no choice but to be in the deep end and to be in something unfamiliar.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting to know yourself and your priorities and your values, so valuable as much as anything else. I mean, if someone else is listening to this and they're thinking, I would like to go on an OE, they're doing the same thing as I did in my 20s. They're very worried about tanking their finances. What would be, is there a number one thing or a big thing that you would recommend to other people if they're thinking about doing this? What should they think about in order to get out on slightly more solid financial footing? Bearing in mind, we don't have to be perfect.
There are so many ways to have this experience. Like if you're thinking about traveling, if you're thinking about doing an OE, if thinking about moving country, if you're thinking about volunteering, like whatever it is, you have so many options. There is not just, you know, just because you're a Kiwi, you don't have to move to London. There are other places, there are other things we, you know, just putting it out as an idea, you know. And I think that what I'd say is look at the options. You know, my decision was, okay, I wanted to travel, but I wanted to live and I wanted to have a base income to travel. I chose this for that reason. Some people maybe just want to go volunteering. And as I said, not spending, that's just sort of what they're going to be figuring out. You know, they get to live for free. They get to have experiences. So I think just look at the options that you have. There's no one cookie cutter way to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think set yourself up before you go so you have a freedom that if you love it, you can stay an extra year or 2 years, or maybe you fall in love and you live there forever, you know? Like I think set yourself up before you go to give yourself that freedom of choice. Yeah, those were my two pieces of advice is look at options. Again, not just London. I will repeat, more cities in this world. We have much better weather in Spain as well and better food, but oh, yeah. Beside the point.
And also, you're next to a beach. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, so good. Also, I love London. So but honestly, going there for a weekend, I was like, Spanish salary? I was like, okay, you have to earn pounds to kind of live here. And some people love it and thrive. But those are the two things is look at options, set yourself up before you go. Don't cut yourself short because you might think you want to come home in 3 months, but you also might not. I don't know when I'm coming home, but I can figure it out. Sorry, Mum.
Exactly.
You know? You've got, yeah.
Thank you, Mum, for your patience. Yeah. Until then, you've got FaceTime. Now, like you put some great content out. You've sort of mentioned it in passing, but let's give it a proper plug because you put some great content out, talking to people about your experience, sharing the things you're learning along the way. I love following you. So if people want to know more and keep following your great tips and see what you're getting up to, where can they find you?
So I have an Instagram page that's called Let's Get Expansive. So I wanted to create a space to talk about travel, life, and finance. I created it maybe 2-3 years ago, got imposter syndrome, stopped, started up again, stopped, started up for the third time to go, you know, I'm just going to share my experience. And my intention with that page is to share my own personal journey around how I am managing my finances while living overseas. And again, that's my personal experience from my own personal background and my decisions that I've made. But a big part of that page is also just to share education and what we touched on before, which is with that information, you decide what works for you. And also, if you are an overseas Kiwi and you have an IRD letter, you're not the only one. Yeah. So yeah, Let's Get Expansive, where I am doing articles and blogs and reels and yes, I have a few exciting projects in the works. And also, if any companies are hiring, I need someone online.
There we go.
Baconism hit me up.
Medea's your girl.
There we go.
Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience with us. It's always fascinating. You need a deep dive into someone else's finances. So that's Mireia Muller-Payeras. Thank you so much for coming on. Now, if you have any more questions about this, anything else to do with money. I've had so many people telling me, I'm thinking about going overseas. How do I do it? So I hope this helped. But if you have more questions, send them to me. I can try to get them into a future podcast for you. So it is Frances Cook NZ, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, pretty much everywhere all over the internet. But most importantly, make sure you hit subscribe to the Making Sense podcast. That's where we do all of these deep dives and we make sure that you never miss a trick with your money. Until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.